Yellow.
Green.
No, that's how I said hello.
Why?
Because I'm so cool.
Okay, hey guys.
We should do that again. That was terrible.
You're the one who started off weird.
Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why. Show Me Scares.
Hey guys.
Hello there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to
Show Me Scares.
That's what it is. No, I was trying to come up with the episode number. Is it
14? 14? I do believe.
Woohoo. Interesting.
Way to be prepared.
Just gonna jot down a note about it.
It's too late now.
I already failed at this opening so many times.
This is going so good.
So, welcome and thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate all of you.
We do.
And so I'm such a huge jerk. I remember I said, we have listeners, and I remember Australia and Sweden, and I was like, oh, I don't remember the others. Yeah, there's so many others. So we were talking about international listens, remember? And so I have seen Ireland, I have seen Bangladesh, the United Kingdom. Oh, I'm going to do it again. Ugh.
Way to go. Way to
Canada.
That.
I mean, Canada, of course. I feel like, I feel like Canada is us, but
they might fight you for that.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame them. Anyway, thank you, all of you, for listening. And if I missed any, I know I did. I will pick them up.
She's definitely not prepared for this episode.
No, I'm not. I am, but I'm not. Anyway, you can tell the point when Shayla got a job.
Norway. Did you say Norway?
Norway. I didn't say Norway. So good job on that. Yeah. I think we've gotten all the others, though.
You hope.
Yeah.
I hope somebody calls you out.
Yeah, me too. Just because I would want to talk to them. So be like, hey, how's your country?
By the way, I'm sorry.
So we took a trip yesterday and got to see some interesting stuff. We are both history buffs, and so we really enjoy, I think when we went to, so we went to Florida last year and we visited, what fort is it?
Pickens.
Fort Pickens. We actually camped right there near Fort Pickens because we like to camp. And that really kind of ignited this interest. I've always had an interest. I mean, you know, Fort Mifflin is a huge haunted fort that is very well known. And so it really kind of just brought to the surface this interest. And we realized we both had a keen interest in these forts and old battlefields and stuff like that. And so we decided, well, that should be some of our trips that we take. We should go and visit some of these places.
And so we decided totally to do that. Got to see how I'm a big kid when it comes to old military stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love it so much.
I know you do.
The old cannons and the guns and the battlefields. Yeah, I'm just like, ah!
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, let's talk Civil War.
What about it?
This one, I really hope that you understand that there will be somewhat of a Civil War history lesson. But it won't be that long and it won't be painful, I promise you. Just hold on. I've tried to write this in a way that it remains interesting. And well, to me, it's all interesting, so I'm hoping I didn't blow it with that. And everybody's like, this is boring as shit. I don't think that it will be, but we shall see.
So what are we talking about? What?
Civil War. The Civil War. I said the Civil War. You're not even listening to me. This is great.
You've already got it boring.
How can we expect listeners to stick with me if you can't even get past what I'm talking about?
What battlefield are we talking about?
Well, the Civil War is a dark piece of U.S. history. We know that. One that has left marks on the country in the years since. We have all heard tales of haunted battlefields. Gettysburg, being the most
well-known,
absolutely. It's known as a paranormal hotspot, and thousands of thrill seekers travel there each year in hopes of seeing or hearing something that's left over from that terrible battle that placed neighbor against neighbor.
Breaks my heart, but makes me want to go there still. So is that the battle we're talking about? Are we going to talk about Gettysburg?
No.
Because I know a lot.
I know, but no. I know. Gettysburg has been done and done and done. And we'll do Gettysburg. Maybe when we go visit, we'll do an episode on Gettysburg because, you know.
We need to book it.
It's Gettysburg. Hello. No, actually, we are going to talk about a Civil War battlefield right here in Missouri that is said to still have echoes of those bloody days. Missouri was a particularly bloody place during the Civil War. The bigger battles in the East get way more attention because of the staggering numbers of lives lost, but Missouri held a unique position during these times. The state was determined to remain neutral.
I was getting ready to ask you, wasn't Missouri pretty neutral when on this war?
Kind of. While many sympathize with one side or the other, it really ended up with Missourians losing their homes or lives by simply being caught in the middle of all the fighting. The Battle of Wilson's Creek, also known as the Battle of Oak Hills, was fought about 10 miles southwest of Springfield, Missouri on August 10, 1861. It was the first battle west of the Mississippi River.
Very cool. I didn't know we had a battlefield in our backyard like this.
I know. It's funny. Well, you know, you hear of battlefield and you see Wilson's Creek National Battlefield, but I was like, I never paid attention to what it was. I'm just a loser. That's all.
you didn't comprehend?
No.
Like, oh, an actual battlefield.
That's what it was used for. Oh, God. Okay. While Missouri was a neutral state, the governor, Claiborne Jackson, was a Southern sympathizer. When Lincoln ordered Missouri to supply 4 regiments for the Union, Jackson refused and instead prepared the Missouri State Guard to seize U.S. arsenal in St. Louis.
Whoa.
Captain Nathaniel Lyon, the commander guarding the arsenal, was ready for them. He emptied the arsenal and shipped the weapons to Illinois.
Oh, one step ahead of him.
All secret-like. He was like, get them out of here. Go, go, go. This will be great. It'll be funny. In May of 1861, he forced the surrender of Camp Jackson, just outside of St. Louis. Lyon, now a general, met with Governor Jackson to settle the differences and put an end to rebel actions in Missouri, but it didn't settle anything. They couldn't get along. In June, Lyon took Jefferson City and later Boonville, forcing Jackson to retreat into southwest Missouri. By mid-July, General Lyon had set up an encampment near Springfield with 6,000 men from 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Missouri Infantry, 1st Iowa Infantry, and 1st and 2nd Kansas Infantry.
Wow. From all over.
Yeah. And I know that's a lot of information you're not going to remember, but it'll come into play later, and that's the only reason that I included all that. Otherwise,
good, because I can't remember what you
said. It's just rubbish, and you don't really care. General Price commanded the Missouri State Guard of little more than 5,000 men. He joined up with Generals McAuliffe and Pierce, Confederate commanders, and formed a brigade of around 12,000 men.
That's a little more than what Lyon had.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They marched toward the Union forces, and the two met on August 1st. Lyon realized he was outnumbered and retreated to Springfield. The rebel forces followed and set up camp at Wilson's Creek. Price planned to attack the Union encampment on August 9th, but a heavy rain held off the assault.
Wow, so he didn't do it because it rained?
Yeah. Like, bad weather, gotta cancel the battle.
I was getting ready to ask, like, would that affect the weapons? Or?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm sure that's probably it. I would think if your numbers are that much more than theirs, it wouldn't matter, but...
I don't know.
I don't either. General Lyon wanted to retreat to Rolla, knowing he was outnumbered, but he decided to launch a surprise attack to weaken the enemy forces before moving out. In the early morning hours of August 10, 1861, Lyon led his men toward Wilson's Creek and the encampment of Price and the rebels.
You know you got really quiet when you started reading that part.
It was a very serious moment.
It was a secret attack.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Shh, be quiet.
Okay.
They'll hear you coming. Lion left 1,000 men behind to guard supplies. Colonel Siegel, this guy, Colonel Siegel proposed a plan to trap McAuliffe and Price by him taking 1,200 men to flank from the south while Lyon led in from the north. Siegel's attack was successful at first as they surprised the Confederates at sunup on the edges of Sharp's Field and continued to move through Confederate camps until he came to Skeeg's Branch. Here is where he would make a dire mistake.
Uh-oh.
He left his flanks open, and McAuliffe sent in the 3rd Louisiana Infantry and the 3rd Division of the Missouri State Guard.
That State Guard, they really helped the Confederates in this war. Or in this battle.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying war for this?
War! The two Union brigades, separate, were unable to communicate with one another. So Lyon and Siegel's two, they couldn't talk. Yeah,
walkie-talkies.
They didn't have walkies with them or phones or anything. When Siegel's men saw the 3rd Louisiana Infantry marching toward them, they mistook them for the 1st Iowa Infantry as their uniforms were similar.
What? Oh my gosh.
The Confederates were upon them before they had time to react, as they had held their fire, believing these were friendly forces coming at them.
Oh my gosh.
So they're thinking, they're both coming from opposite directions, and they're like, hey, you guys did really cool. You're already to us? Like, that's great. And then they're like, oh shit, that's not them.
Yeah. Talk about a Baja moment. Oh shit moment. It's a Baja moment.
I don't even know what that means.
Me either, but it sounds cool. Oh,
God. I love you. Siegel's brigade suffered from this mistake and fled from the battlefield, leaving Lyon and his unit alone in the battle. It's really hard for me to say leaving Lyon because I want to say leaving lying. Ugh. It's terrible. Anyway, they're alone on the battlefield now. Lyon, a much better commander than Siegel.
Obviously.
Was able to gain control many times, but it was never for long. He was able to do this with a significantly smaller number of men by using his position upon a ridge later dubbed Bloody Hill. Nathaniel Lyon was a brave man and a great military leader. During this battle, he was shot twice, once in the leg and once in the head, and still he continued to push on, leading his men in combat.
In the head?
In the head.
Whoa.
The fatal shot would be to the heart of Nathaniel Lyon, making him the first Union general to be killed in the Civil War. He died at approximately 9:30 that morning, and the battle would rage on for hours following his death, in total 6 hours long, before his forces retreated and fled to Rolla. Though the Confederates claimed the victory, casualties were nearly even for both sides, with roughly 3,000 total dying during that 6 hours. Lyon may have died and lost the battle, but he had accomplished what he had set out to do. The Confederate forces were crippled enough, they were unable to follow the Federals into Rolla. And there was not another huge Confederate force or gathering in Missouri for another like 3 years. I think it was 1864 before they came back through.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was Price again that came back through and marched 1,500 miles from Arkansas up through Missouri.
He just couldn't let it go.
Mm-mm. $10 million worth of damage that he did to property.
Like, shout out to this General Lyon. Yeah. I mean, he had just as many deaths as the Confederates with less of a people.
Mm-hmm. And part of that was because he was able to get on top of that ridge and see down. That helped a great deal. But from what I understood reading about this, there were times in during this battle when they were 20 and 30 feet apart shooting cannons at each other.
Gosh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was bad. And then this dipshit seagull, he's very interesting. So first of all, he decides, hey, let's split up. We have half as many men, and we left 1,000 of them back home or at camp. So let's split up and make our numbers even smaller. But if we flank, then we'll be able to, sure, okay, I get that. Understand. But then he totally screws up. And then he just flees. Instead of circling back around and helping out his boy Lion, mm-hmm. He's like, all right, screw this, man, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And so I looked into him a little bit more. And the other colonel that was with them, I think it was a colonel, I don't know, those titles just over my head. Anyway, his name was Sturgis, and he was actually the one who took over whenever Lion fell. They get back to camp, and they decide, or to Rolla, I guess, and they decide Sturgis is the one who will take over. He's the next in command after Lion. And Sturgis eventually says, yeah, I don't want it. I don't want to do that.
I don't
want to
be in charge.
And so guess who steps up and gets it?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mr. Take off, leave everybody behind.
Yeah. Yeah. The bravest of them all. So Seagull ends up getting it. And then I don't know if it was the troops call or I don't remember. But just to put it into context a little bit, I believe it was the men who actually kind of voted him off the island and said, you are not going to be our commander anymore. Sturgis is back in. And so they kind of overruled and said, no, we're not fighting for this idiot.
Really? I didn't know that.
And so Seagull ended up going on and still commanding in different, he had different infantries under him. And then eventually he was removed from commanding anyone.
Well, so he was just a downright bad leader in general.
They said he lacked aggression is what they cited whenever they took away all of his commanding. Yeah. So he was, yeah, terrible. That'd be a nice way to be remembered. Anyway, he was a coward.
Sorry,
that's the way it's written. I don't know. I didn't know him, but there's another interesting thing about the history here on Wilson's Creek. The Ray House. It was built in 1850, and it holds a lot of significance for the Battle of Wilson's Creek. John Ray lived with his wife and 11 children near the battlefield. On the morning of the battle, one of the children was working in the fields, and they were told by a Union soldier that they needed to take cover because a battle was about to go down just outside their house.
About to go down, huh?
Yeah. He's like, we're about to throw down out here. You better run home to mom.
Go and get.
That's probably more what it was, actually. Mrs. Ray and the children hid in the cellar while John stayed outside to watch the events. Can you
probably
imagine sitting on your lawn watching a battle?
I would sit on the porch in his rocking chair with some coffee.
Yeah.
No, some moonshine. There we go.
God. He was the postmaster. His house was the post office at that time.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. After the battle, the Confederates took over the house, raising a yellow flag. The house became a field hospital, and several soldiers were cared for and died in the home.
Yeah, so they raised the yellow flag to make sure the troops know that it's a hospital, not to attack the house.
Yeah. Very good.
I knew that.
They're supposed to put out a blue flag with a white H on it, but I don't guess they knew that in 1861.
Yeah, when did they decide it was blue? I mean.
Anyway. It is also said that many surgeries, including amputations, took place within the home during this time. So we watched this video of this paranormal investigation. This paranormal team went in there. I'm not laughing at them. I'm just saying. Because there's some crazy things that come out of some of those crazy claims.
Out of what?
Out of paranormal investigations. Oh. And so one of the historical little tidbits that they had was that there was like a pile of severed limbs in the yard that was like, what? Did he say 15 feet tall?
He did.
Okay.
That's a lot of limbs.
I'm thinking I would just make another pile before I would pile them up 15 feet tall. And I'm thinking everyone would.
I don't know. This is your show, so.
You're telling the story, stupid. You tell me. No, I'm just saying that was the story that this paranormal investigator was giving.
They may have just been opening the back door and just throwing them.
I know, but that's a tall pile. I think.
You really think they measured 15 feet? Like, maybe they just threw out a number when they was telling a story.
I'm thinking like 3 feet, probably.
Oh my gosh.
No pun intended, obviously.
You're such a doofus.
Maybe that's what he meant. There was 15 feet.
Oh my god.
That's disgusting. I'm a horrible person.
You are so
I just
bad
don't
at this.
Believe it. That's why. I believe there was probably a pile of limbs, no doubt. But I don't believe it was that many.
Yeah, somebody probably just threw out a number of 15 feet, 13 feet, blah, blah, blah.
Did they count all the feet?
Stop it.
Okay, I'm done. The Ray children would run back and forth between the spring house down the hill and the hospital bringing water to help. So the spring house is still there.
There's 11 of them. They could have just lined up and passed the bucket up the hill. Sorry.
You're not wrong. But the spring house is still there. And the spring house is really cool. I mean,
it was really cool.
It's really cool just to see that kind of a setup, because you hear about it all the time about people keeping, you know, their milk and butter and stuff like that in spring houses. And we got to see one, regardless of the extra little historical significance of that place. The spring house is cool enough in its own.
Now, you went in there. Was it pretty cold?
It was cooler than outside.
Yeah, because they like said that they stored milk and stuff in there. I didn't know how cold they kept it. Yeah. It's pretty neat. Like like you said,
it's very neat.
The architectural structure of it was really cool.
Yeah. So the chitlins were running back and forth getting water. The family all helped in caring for the wounded men that had come into their home, even after this battle had shredded their cornfield and ripped apart their land. Now, this was a devastating loss to the farmers of that area, as all of their hard work that they had put into their crops and their land was undone in hours.
In hours.
Yeah. That sucks. And I did see a video where they were talking about it and said, you know, it took years for these farmers to recover from the loss of those 6 hours.
Ouch.
Yeah. Nobody cared about them. I mean, they were just
like, stay
fight.
Off my fields, bro. Go in the woods.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Go play somewhere else. Ugh. The Ray House still stands at Wilson's Creek National Battlefield, and it is the only original structure remaining from that time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
It is really interesting. And it's really cool. I liked it. Let's get to the paranormal claims. Ba-da-ba-ba. You like it?
You said paranormal awful fast.
Let's get to the paranormal claims. Is that better?
It's better than paranormal claims.
Sometimes I do that. I've been listening back to some of the episodes. And sometimes I'm like, bloop, bloop. That's how I say a word. And I'm like, how do people even understand me?
I don't know. I barely do.
It's like sometimes my mouth don't work right or something. I don't know. Anyway, paranormal claims. It's going to be fun.
Let's do it.
All right. There have been reports of apparitions of soldiers as well as the residual sounds of gun and cannon fire. Some have heard people moving about the woods and ghostly conversations at night.
What is ghostly conversations?
Conversations that are heard, but you can't see anybody having them.
Just making sure I knew what that was.
Also, how are they in there at night because it closes down?
I don't know.
That upsets me. I want to know how they sneak in.
Sneak in. Why? Because you want to?
Yeah, duh.
Oh my gosh.
Hello. I need to know anybody out there that listens that works for the National Park Service that wants to get us in some of these places after dark, you'll be our best friend.
Oh my god.
We'll give you a sticker. That's terrible.
Oh my god.
They're like, yeah, I'll chance my job for a sticker. That sounds great.
For real. Nerd.
Anyway. Unexplained cold spots are another popular claim here. On a day of reenactments, several actors saw a man following them on horseback that disappeared once they reached their destination.
That's pretty cool.
Then they found out that the actors on horseback had not yet gotten started. No one that was riding that day had been out at that point.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we see something like that?
I don't know. Because I don't know. Okay. I'm so upset when I don't see something.
But we could go back like all the summer.
I know. But then whenever I do see something, it's like 2 seconds later, I'm like, I don't think I see anything. Jeez. It's stupid. It's really stupid.
Easy.
That's what it is. I don't like my skeptic mind.
Bodhi found a toy.
Yeah, it's great. One visitor to the park was walking on the trail when he suddenly heard a loud moan from the ground a few feet in front of him. He said it could only be described as someone in severe pain or dying.
Aww.
There was nothing there to make the sound, and it was on a clear, sunny day.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine? I'd be like,
hello?
Dude, the ground just moaned.
You'd run because you'd face somebody's in trouble. Huh? Or hurt.
You mean run away from them?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I'd be like, I don't want any part of this.
Exactly.
I'm out. Somebody's hurt. Emergency. I must go the other way. That's me.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm definitely not a hero. I'll just say that.
Oh, jeez.
There have been shadow figures spotted around the cannons on the property. I'm not sure which cannons. There are a lot of cannons there.
I don't know, but there's definitely a picture of that online. Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's pretty neat.
I think it was doctored.
You're
Anyway, one visitor thought he was witnessing a reenactment when he was passed by seven soldiers in uniform. He was surprised when the men faded away as they reached the edge of the woods.
That would be so cool.
It would be so cool. And I actually saw that the first claims, I read this in a book. I think it was Troy Taylor's book. He's amazing. And writes a lot of ghost stories. But he said that the first reports, I don't know if it was the first reports, but some of the first reports were in the 1940s, and it was a group of fishermen that had seen 15 soldiers that were just marching and disappeared.
Insane.
And apparently that group of 15 has been seen over the years, off and on.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could see something like that.
I do too. I tried so hard.
Oh, I know you did. Like,
hello, come and see me.
Wow.
And they were like, screw you.
You're psycho.
It's windy.
I know how they feel.
We visited.
We did.
So when we visited, we did hear gunshots.
I don't know where it was from. There's a lot of gunshots.
You know, I feel like there has to be a firing range somewhere close because they were obvious gunshots. Now, we are from a very rural area and we know the sound of gunshots. In fact, the first time we heard the gunshot, I didn't even react until you said something because I'm just used to when I'm outside, I hear gunshots. That's just how life is. Growing up my entire life, living in the woods, pretty much.
You hear them all the time.
You hear them all the time. And so I never even thought, oh, I'm like right in the middle of a city, pretty much. I mean, I have cities all around me. Mm-hmm. And there was a gunshot. And that was the first one we had heard. And we were at the spring house when we heard that.
Maybe it was. There is a range close or something.
There's got to be. Because we heard that. We heard a cannon one time.
We did. That's different, though.
That was a totally different sound, too.
Yeah.
Than the gunshots. But the gunshots just kept going. I mean, it was, I don't know, every 20 minutes or so, there was a gunshot or two.
Yep.
And then the cannon fire, but that only happened the one time.
That was interesting.
Yeah. And that was definitely cannon fire.
Mm-hmm.
We know cannon fire as well. Yeah. So, anyway. We know what all that stuff sounds like. Also, people here in the Ray House, people hear the residual sound of people moaning and groaning.
That's sad.
Yeah. That's like the biggest claim, too. It's constant. Like, all the claims, everybody has said something about hearing that. Aww. Those sounds of just, I don't know, pain, I guess, and what they were going through.
I guess they let you in the Ray house whenever things are opening back up. We did not get to go in.
No, we did not. So there are reports of temperature fluctuations within the home. Many visitors have reported the apparition of a young woman in period dress carrying a pail of water from the spring house.
Wow.
There's been a lot of, I guess there's been a lot of people who have went to the main office and said, you know, oh, the little actress that carries the water, that's such a cute touch. And
they're like,
we don't have anybody that does that here. So,
and I don't know if you mentioned, they still have the same bed from the war that was there, still in there.
No, I didn't mention that. I actually didn't recall that. So thank you for paying better attention than I did.
I just thought it was a cool
tidbit. It is really cool. And we spent time at the Ray House, of course, like you said. It was closed because they haven't opened all the buildings up at the park yet. You can go into the park, but you can't. The visitor center and all the other things, all the tours and stuff, guided tours are all closed. So we'll go back whenever we can go on a real tour. And
that would be cool.
It will be cool. I want to go in that house so bad because there are so many things there that are left and are original. So that will be really cool to see.
Agreed.
Also, though, I got a picture of that front window from a distance. Remember, I took that picture. I took a bunch of pictures in a row. And the very first picture, there's nothing in the window. And the second picture, it looks like there could be somebody standing looking out the window.
I agree.
And so that's an interesting one. It's interesting to me. And I was taking bursts of photos, obviously, trying to see if something showed up. And I never expect it to, but it kind of seems like it might have. So that makes me want to get in there even more.
I know, right?
I'm mad at myself now because there were people that was visiting the house at the same time we were. And they were kind of fun people. Anyway, they were shooting inside the home with their cameras and talking about the mists that they were catching and stuff like that. And of course, I'm not a big jerk, but I'm also not one to be like, oh my God, let me see, you know. I have to see it. Show me. Anyway, but now I feel like stupid for not taking pictures inside the windows like they were, because maybe they were seeing something and I'm just a big jerk.
Why do you think you're a jerk? Just because you didn't do it? Or
no, because I was judging them.
Judging people.
No, that's the wrong word. I wasn't judging them, but I was, you know.
You were like, uh-huh, okay, mister.
I just don't trust other people. And I don't mean that like it sounds. I just mean, when you look at a picture, I need to see it. And I need to see not just the picture. I need to see.
People does exaggerate something when it comes to paranormal.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Is people get caught up in it and they exaggerate a little much. And so that's why I don't believe everyone.
You don't judge people.
Judge them. I just.
That came off way wrong. It did. I'm like, oh my God. Our followers are going to hate you.
I don't mean judge. I never judge anyone. But I don't take it at face value.
Gotcha.
Ever. And I have to see it. I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me.
Oh my gosh.
There it is. Anyway. Now, Terry.
I don't know. I don't want you to judge me.
I'm going to judge you so hard. You had an interesting experience.
Girl. Let me tell you.
You stop it. So just don't talk like that anymore and tell us about what you experienced. We were in the backyard of the Ray House.
Yeah, we were just walking around looking at stuff, and I always look in the trees. Like, I was looking for anything you could find. We just moseying around, letting the other people look around the house. And my chest got heavy, I got goosebumps, and I instantly started tearing up. And you was just walking around minding your own business, and I'm
dee-doo,
like,
dee-doo.
And you turn around, you're like, what is wrong with you? But I'm like, I don't no. But yeah, I was tearing up, and I showed her my arm, and I had goosebumps all over, and I was just like breathing hard. I didn't know I was that out of shape, but
yeah, right.
But yeah, that's what happened to me around the Ray House. Just emotional. I don't know if I was thinking about all that had happened there or what.
That's very interesting to me because you've never had an experience like that before, am
never.
I right?
Never.
Yeah. So for that to happen,
I was like looking at you like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, it was a little crazy because you had no idea why you were feeling what you were right. feeling. And that's what's interesting is nothing told you to feel that way. Mm. Nothing said, and I oh never, my God, think about all the people who died right here.
I never get connected like to that. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I read about it and I'm like, oh man, you know, that's crazy and blah, blah, blah. But I never have felt a connection to an area like that and have that happen. So it was cray cray.
Yeah. It's very interesting how much it affected you. And only for a moment. It was only, it happened and it passed and it was over and it never happened again. So it wasn't like you, I mean, and then that was at the Ray House. I mean, that's a sad area. Of course, mm-hmm. there were a lot of people who died there in that field hospital. But also, we went to Bloody Hill, where 3,000 people died and lost their lives. And we stood at the monument where Nathaniel Lyon fell and nothing. I mean, that would have been the point where I would think one would get emotional and feel the most dread or sorrow, I guess, because of what had happened there. If you get to thinking about the lives lost, that's the area where really you feel it, because there are signs all around too reminding you of all the lives that were lost right there in that very spot. And so you were just moseying around a field that had nothing telling you anything.
Yeah, it was
and
just
out of
backyard.
Nowhere, these emotions came over you. So that's why it's interesting to me, is there was no outside stimulus that put that on you, such as reading or something like that. So,
right. And we was looking in the house, and we was there for 10-20 minutes already, just walking around the house, and then we was going around the back way because there's people coming and just looking around, and we was actually walked away from the house and away from that area a little bit, and then all of a sudden it just hit me. I was like, what in the world
Very
is going
interesting.
On? Yeah.
Alrighty, let's do a would you rather. We haven't done one of those in forever.
Oh, these always make me nervous with these.
I know. So I have one. I think it's a pretty easy one. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Would you rather be Nathaniel Lyon or Franz Siegel?
Oh.
Here's my follow-up for that. Franz Siegel flees and survives. Nathaniel Lyon
dies a hero.
Dies. But ends up getting done what he had set out to do in dying.
Lyon.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You want to die a hero?
Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, like you want to, but so you would rather die and never know that you were a hero.
But I mean, he put in all the effort for his men and did, like, he signed up for that.
Yeah.
He signed up and he didn't run away and leave men stranded. He didn't. He's I don't want to be that guy who all these men died because of me. That would be with me the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I would rather die trying to save my men. Yourself?
Okay. Well, I think
after I said that, now what do you say?
I think I would definitely want to be remembered like Lyon. We've made it clear I'm no hero. Okay.
So you would be the single guy.
I don't think that I would be him. I don't think that I would. I think I would probably have died trying. But
would you rather be Lyon or Siegel?
Lyon. But here's no. Listen, this is my game. I can make up the rules. Okay. So here's what my thoughts are. I would want to be remembered like Lyon, But I wouldn't want to die like Lion.
Nobody wants to die.
I know. But see, the thing is sure, he's this hero, pretty much. But, I mean, I guess it depends on which way you look at him, which side you are more happy about. And he dies, so he never knows he's a hero. He may have died thinking,
even if,
my God, I have led my men into massacre and mm-hmm. they're all going to die and I'm dying too. You know,
but like, if he survived it, he would have never forgave himself either. If his men died and he didn't.
Oh, well, yeah. But I mean, I don't know about that, because how many times do generals survive and their men don't, and they just keep, they just replace them with more men and keep on going?
I don't know. All the reading you do, everybody respected him.
Oh,
all
yeah,
of his
a
men
lot.
Respected
Absolutely.
Him and loved him as a general.
There were even, you remember, there were even some testimony, or I don't know if you call it that, but some writings from Confederate soldiers who fought against him that day saying, that was the bravest man I've ever seen.
Yes.
And so that's quite interesting too, to see that. And it might not have been Confederates technically, it might have been some Missouri State Guard, but they were fighting against him and still said, that was the bravest man I've ever seen.
I would rather be that, and instead of the, wow, that guy's chicken shit, he just left his men behind and took off.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if I was on the front lines of that battle, I would have thrown down my gun and been like, screw it, it's not worth it. I'm going home.
Dead, huh?
I'm going to go put on a dress and be a lady.
Wow.
That's me.
That reminds me of an article I read mm-hmm. where Lion dressed up as a female to go undercover and try to figure out something about the state guard. Do you remember that?
To get intel.
Yeah. Whoa, what a hero. See, don't you want to be that hero?
Yeah. No. No, I'm the guy that dresses like a woman to get out of fighting. God.
But I mean, who back then, you would have never thought somebody like a dude would have dressed
up. I think that was
up.
Actually pretty common.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I need to do more.
I think I've heard a lot
stuff.
Of stories like that. Probably more stories along the line of trying to get out of fighting, but anyway. Final thoughts. Let's do final thoughts real quick. I wanted to say something we didn't mention when we were talking is that when we went to Bloody Hill, just the feeling and the atmosphere up there, it is a different. I mean, you can feel, I think, and maybe it's because you know, but you can definitely feel there is something about that area that's just, you just know that something happened there.
I could literally sit there and just stare at the place,
yeah,
and just think about what the men was thinking and what it all was going on, you know.
Yeah. It's just a sad part of history, but
all the chaos, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, like mm-hmm. the way the war was back then. It's just, when you see reenactments and stuff, it looks like just a bunch of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
People running everywhere, horses going everywhere, people trying to load their weapon after one shot. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's stressful.
So, yeah.
But when you get to that spot, I swear I felt it. It was different. It was quieter up there. We heard some birds chirping, but not much. And it seemed so loud everywhere. And it was almost like things just went still once mm-hmm. we got to the top of Bloody Hill, right near Nathaniel Lyon's monument. And
it was really silent when we finally got to the monument. I was mm-hmm. just like, whoa.
It is just a different feeling up there.
The only sound I remember hearing is there was a lizard on one of the fence posts. And I just focused on it because it's the only sound I heard.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's mm-hmm. that quiet that mm-hmm. you could hear it. Yeah, of course, that can be your mind. You know what happened there. And so that definitely could be just,
you're being more quiet, too, because mm-hmm. you're wanting to respect.
Respectful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. So, we'll go back to Wilson's Creek.
I can't wait. I would go back right now. Because I just love it.
Uh-huh.
Love that stuff.
It's a beautiful place,
it
too.
It is. And hats off to the Park Service for keeping that place so nice. Yeah, and
it's very nice.
The history of it. I love it.
Let's do iTunes reviews.
Why are you singing it?
Because I'm multi-talented. I can talk and sing.
You better stick with podcasting.
That's for sure. Our iTunes reviews. We have Dose.
Yay. Yeah, tell me they're 5 stars.
I can speak Spanish too, you see. I have so
many
talents.
Why are you holding up 3 fingers?
I wasn't. You guys, she's lying to you. Anyway. Kay Vollmer and Half Vast Productions.
Wow, that's a long one.
Thank you guys so much for your nice reviews. They were very nice, and we appreciate those, all of them. Email me for your sticker. And yeah, just thank you. That it means a lot, really.
Yeah, we love the kind words. I'm so excited that we got more reviews. Yeah. That's cool. Thanks, guys.
Also, I wanted to just give a little shout out to Cindy W. I don't want to say her last name. She's from back home, and she's just been really nice about the podcast and following us. And so I just did want to mention her and say thank you, Cindy.
She's been really cool.
Yeah, she's very nice about, feedback and
nice. I love her insiders. It. Yeah, I know. Cool.
And then we had someone reach out to us on Facebook, Barbara. Again, I won't say her last name, and said some really nice things. She said she was historical museum something.
Can she give us hookups to go to museums?
I think
stuff?
She's lives far away. Anyway, she's not in the state. but she did say that she appreciated the amount of time we put into our research.
Oh, that's cool.
That means a ton, because you
especially
really
for her.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I know that, and that's what she said is with what I do, I truly appreciate the research you put in. That means a ton, because you have no idea the amount of work that takes.
Yeah,
to put together a show, it is insane.
You so stay at your laptop like every night. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey, you signed up for this.
Hey. This is the best part of my day.
I know. It's like your de-stressor. Is
yeah.
That word? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I go to the gym and do CrossFit and you
I
research.
Sit at a computer and drink beer.
That sounds about like us. That's our lives right there, folks. Right there in a box.
Yeah. Anyway. So the reopening, it's happening.
Finally.
Please stay. Please, 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 please stay healthy, because we want to go investigate haunted places. We need you all to not spread this anymore so we can investigate.
I'm pretty sure they don't mean to get sick, babe.
Well, I know that. I'm just putting out the vibes. I'm putting out the good vibes.
It's good to see people getting out more. Like, I don't know. It's just good to see people out in nature more, I guess.
Yeah.
But we're getting out into parks and stuff more now that we can't go to businesses. So it's good for us, too.
True. Anyway, yeah. Because we are so ready to start investigating again. And we're just, come on, come on, come on. We're just itching to get out there. So, stay safe, everyone. So, next week. I tried to eat the microphone.
You do that all the time.
I get way too into it. Next week, we are going to talk about a massacre in Missouri from the 80s.
Ooh.
1980s, that is. We've been covering things that are much older.
Yeah,
so.
What made you go in the 80s?
Well, actually, the last one we did was 1973, the last murder.
You
so that's
a lot
not
of earlier
too bad.
One. No.
Later.
Later. Sooner. Closer to us?
Closer all those all. Things, yes. but anyway, this one's from the 80s. And because it's for episode 15, which is my favorite number, I chose one from the year I was born.
You make the rules, babe. You do
I know,
you.
I know. I know. Anyway, so next week, look forward to that. It's a
it's sad
fucking horrible story.
God.
It's going to be great. And listen into that. It'll be fun. It's really awful. But it's a good story to tell anyway.
Wow. So we got pictures on our socials of our trip to...
We did share pictures.
Wilson. So if you haven't looked at those yet,
yep,
check it out.
And if you have any, share them with us, because we want to see those. Because we have seen some really cool pictures that came from there. So share. And we will see you next week. Stay safe. Don't get sick. or I will come find you if you ruin my investigation time.
Guys, we've got to get her investigating soon.
And I'm just kidding. Stay safe because I love you, not because I'm a jerk.
Well.
Shut up. Anyway, stay safe.
Stay healthy.
All that. We all do that good love stuff. You guys. We listen hope- to us. Leave words. Us a review. Say something on Facebook. Email us.
Are you done?
Yes.
All right, guys. This is us closing off. I gotta shut her down.
Bye.
Bye, guys.